Greetings, Patriots, and welcome to the Spirit of 1776, brought to you by the 1776 community. I am your host, Brock Fankhauser, and today we're going to discuss one of the five core values of the 1776 community, and that is do something. We are compelled as Americans, if we want to make America a great place, a more perfect place, we have to do something. I think we've arrived at a place right now where doing nothing is no longer an option. And so if our goal is to make this country a better place than it found us, we have to do something. And I can think of no one better than who is committing his life right now to do something than our guest right now, Chase Petty of Sarasota, Florida, who is the founder of Adventure for All, a 501c3 organization, which is doing great things right now in our country. Chase, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Brock. Like you said, we're definitely doing something. And to speak to that core value, actually, our number one core value over here is to be inspireneers. And so, like you said, pioneering just ideas. And to do that, like you said, you have to just try things and do things. And it's in that process that we find, you know, our purpose and our passions. So I respect that simplicity of just do something, because doing something always leads to something, right?
Leave it up to you, Chase, to have inspire-neer, right? Of course.
Absolutely.
tell our audience, who is Chase Petty?
Yeah, so Chase Petty is a just small town boy that was moved a lot as a young kid, was raised mainly by a single mom and sisters. So got my emotional side, my intimate side, you know, from them. Yeah, I think through that, you know, I had to work through, you know, my teenage years, my childhood, going into adulthood, had some traumas that I think I had to face. But I actually heard a quote a couple weeks ago that said, traumas are opportunities for fast-tracking growth. And I like the word opportunity because, you know, if you're willing to go back and face those trials and tribulations, sometimes we find triumphs in those, and that's where we find ourselves. And so, you know, through the struggle of just, you know, not having a close relationship with my dad and having those things, but growing through teenage years and into my adulthood, luckily started to find myself. And one of the main reasons I found myself is because of the individuals we serve here at Adventure for All. And those are individuals with exceptionalities, or as some people still say, disabilities. And we, I call them exceptional because for that very reason, you know, one moment with them completely shifted the trajectory of my life. And I always like to share this story just because it tells a little bit about who I am, you know, in that question. And that was the first day I was able to interact with these individuals was when I was around 23, 24 years old. And it was in a classroom setting. I was heading there to volunteer. And I remember going, driving to that classroom as that version of Chase, you know, thinking, oh, you're going to do something great today. You're volunteering. You're such a good guy, you know, just really feeding my ego on the way there. And I remember walking into that classroom, and this classroom of kids come running up to me and, just loved me in the most authentic way possible. Didn't know my name, didn't know who I was, never met me, and just loved me with all their heart. And it was in that moment that I had first time actually experienced what it means to authentically love in this world. And they inspired me to find a better version of myself and try to live my life in that same way. So,
in other words, I mean, you saw authentic love coming at you, and that inspired you to pay it forward.
Yeah, I mean, physically, literally coming at me. Yeah. And then to feel that, you know, I remember actually leaving that classroom that first day, and I just cried in my car because it was the first time that I think I truly felt seen for who I was, not for who I was trying to be. That inspired me to just be me. In that process, that's where it kind of kicked things off, and I started a different trajectory in my life. And a few years later, founded Adventure for All. And here we are today, 3.5 years into founding this organization. And we are on quite the fast track and making big imprints and big change, a big impact. And it feels amazing to be on this path.
Yeah, and we'll get to Adventure for All in a second. To the audience who is learning about exceptionalities as a term for the first time right now, more commonly, right, they refer to it as disabilities, or even worse, prior to that, they were known as handicapped. Mm-hmm. So can you describe just a handful of the handicaps or disabilities, or we're going to put those words off to the side, and for the rest of this podcast, focus on your word, exceptionalities. What are some of the exceptionalities that you see coming into AFA?
So a lot of our current exceptionalities are intellectual or developmental exceptionalities. So autism, Asperger's, Down syndrome, some cerebral palsy is the majority of the exceptionalities that we're currently working with. And obviously, you know, our work, which we'll get into, it will expand beyond that. But that is the demographic that I've seen the biggest barriers. And which, again, I know we'll get into that stuff. But there's a massive amount of, you know, societal barriers that have limited growth for that community. And, you know, that's what we're trying to address. And so that's the handful we use. And for those kind of wondering, you know, why do we use the word exceptionalities? You know, to put it in, you know, simple terms, it's the power of language. You know, I think when you really pause for a moment, you think about how powerful language is. You know, our brains are constantly absorbing information and constantly giving us feedback, right? I mean, 24/7, even while we're sleeping, we're consuming and delivering information. And so, you know, we teach our brain to react to things so that we can prioritize our energy towards the things we're trying to put it into. And so as we learn words, we naturally, our brain doesn't pause and go, oh, well, let me think about that word, right? Somebody says disabilities. Naturally, our brain's going to go to the definition, which means not able, which now means I'm now first time seeing this individual as the definition of not able, which then means my first perception of that individual is less than, or seeing them for their diagnosis and not for their abilities. And so by using exceptionalities, it allows us to see them in a light that puts them or defines them for their abilities and their potential, not for their diagnosis.
Yeah, great point. Let's speak specifically to AFA. Certainly, there's no shortage of entrepreneurs, volunteers, 501c3 organizations that are catered to people with exceptionalities. But Adventures for All is definitely unique in that you are serving these exceptionalities, these beautiful souls. In what way, Chase?
Currently developing what's called a Journey for All, but it starts with that first pillar, which is Adventure for All. And I think all of us in life learn through experiencing life, right? Even when we're in school and we're being educated, we're experiencing all the time. You know, when somebody thinks back to their favorite subject, I guarantee you it's because their best friend was in the class, or it was their favorite teacher, or you know, something happened that created an experience that then attached a different emotion to that category, that subject, and it made them confident to then excel in that subject. And so experiences are what help develop character and the traits that will help us succeed in life and find out who we really are. And so we're helping these kids learn how to ride a two-wheel bike independently, completely on their own. And we're doing it in five-day camps. We're helping them kayak independently. We're having them hike mountains. We're having them do these incredible adventures. And when we tell people this, we're like, we are making the impossible possible. And we say that only because currently, right now, riding a two-wheel bike, kayaking independently, doing these things is defined as impossible by a lot of the experts. And so a lot of these parents are born into this world being told that their child can't do a lot of things. And so we come in and we're like, no, your child can. And we've seen it time and time again. I mean, our first year, we had four kids and four families. And I say kids, but they were between 19 and 21 years old. So four individuals. And for that many years, they never rode a two-wheel bike, never kayaked independently, never hiked a mountain, had never done any of those things in that program. And in a matter of 6 months, they were doing all those things, which just goes to show you again the power of language. For 19 years, they were told you can't, so they didn't. Within 6 months, they were told you can, so they did. And there's a lot of power in that. And there's a lot of power in a belief system. You know, and I'm sure you, Brock, right? You've probably had mentors. I know I have, where, you know, there's just days that you know, especially when you're an entrepreneur and, you know, you just have those days where you're just like, I don't know if I got it in me. You know, I don't know. Can I do that? Can I get that? And you have that one person go, no, you got this. And it's just those words that just take you over the ledge to go, okay, you're right. I can do this. And, you know,
yeah. And in this almost 4-year span of teaching individuals who've been told no, or you can't, or it's not possible, how many exceptionalists have you been able to train to successfully ride a 2-wheel bicycle who were previously told it's never going to happen?
Great question. So for biking, it's almost 150 kids at this point. And, you know, when you think of the grand scheme of things, where it's been just under 3.5 years, you think, oh, that's not that many in that amount of time. But that's not our, you know, our model at Adventure for All. Our model is to perfect processes, because at the end of the day, we're an education organization, right? We're redefining how we teach these individuals with exceptionalities and how we set them up to have choice and opportunity. And so we have completely refined how you teach a kid to ride a bike with an exceptionality, and it's 168 steps. And you look at that and you think, oh my gosh, that's so much. Like, you know, it's going to take too long, or that's going to be difficult. But really, when you start to look at it, it's not. But all we do is we just reverse engineer and then regress and progress and layer steps on top of each other. And, you know, we've had a 100% success rate from day one teaching kids to ride a bike. In our 5-day camp, it's a 92% success rate. But we always still work with the kids and the families after the 5-day camp for those 8% to make sure that they do get to that goal. And so, you know, it's things like that that are helping shift the perception of what's possible for these individuals.
It's amazing, Chase. Let me game this out there. There's a parent out there who has a child that has a disability. They view this child as an exceptionalist, right? But they hear about your program. They call you. They enroll. They sign up. What does it look like on day one, or that first period where you're meeting this individual and you're going to take them through this process where there's a 92% chance that this kid who's never been able to ride a bike and experience freedom?
Yeah.
What does that look like from the moment that exchange happens? And then take us through that process, the 160, how many steps?
168 steps.
168 steps. So I'm the parent of this child, and I've engaged you. What does it look like?
Mm-hmm. Well, before even day one, the engagement would be you and I having a call. It would be just like this. And I would make sure and I gauge, are you ready for this journey? Because it's not just a journey for your kid, right? You've also been told your child can't your whole life. And that's hard. That's hard to carry. It's very heavy to carry, especially when you're the one person in life that will die for your child. You'll do anything for your child. And here I am after X amount of years saying, I can get your child to do that. It's hard. It's hard to accept, because by accepting that, you're also accepting that you believed that your child can't for X amount of years leading up to this point. And that's a hard thing to face, because, right, you've been just trusting the experts. And so there's this battle internal with them. And so I always have to make sure that they're ready emotionally for this journey, because it's going to be heavy and it's going to open up a lot of wounds. And we're going to have some conversations, because on day one, you're not going to be able to be there. On day one, I don't allow the parents to be there. They have to show us that they trust us, and we have to build that trust with their child. You know, a lot of teaching someone to do something that they've never done, especially something like riding a bike, where you can fall, you can get hurt. There's a lot of fears built around riding a bike. That's why it's such a powerful tool. So on day one, it's, hey, parent, I need you to go on a nice walk, go run some errands, whatever you need to do. But this day one, it's just me and your child and our other coaches and the other athletes, and we're going to build some confidence with them. And then the next few days, and day two, so the first day we don't introduce the bike. They're just doing body weight drills, teaching their mind to have center of gravity. We start introducing multi-processing body movements just so that their brain's reacting to the multi-processing of how they're going to have to do multiple things at once when they're on the bike. And we're slowly training their brain for what the activities it's going to be doing. And they're built up movements that emulate the things they'll be doing on the bike. And then day two, we introduce the bike and we everything they do on the bike in day two, they don't even ride it yet. It's just learning how to get on the bike correctly, sit on the bike, shift from foot to foot and lean the bike back and forth, stand up on the pedals without it moving, just building a relationship with the bike. Because now day one, they trusted us. Day two, they need to learn to trust their equipment. And now day three, let's take that all-encompassing trust and let's put it now let's put it to work. And so on day three, we start allowing the parents to come. At that point, they can watch, they can be a part of it, they can experience it with their child. But we start, you know, just going through power drills or pedaling drills. Day four becomes very individualized. So wherever each athlete is, wherever their weaknesses may be falling, whatever, we kind of find those pinpoints to get them over that threshold. And it's usually in day four, day five at the latest, that they ride 10 to 20 yards completely on their own. And that's called intro to adventure biking. And then from there, they graduate into level up biking, which is then where we teach them how to stand and pedal, turn right, turn left, you know, use both brakes and do more advanced skills. So then they can truly explore, like you said, and feel that feeling of freedom. But that moment of when they ride the bike on their own, it just, man, it never gets old for a coach, for a parent, for an athlete. It's what we call miracle moment, because the ripple effect of that moment completely shifts the trajectory of their life, because their parent now has hope again. And their parent believes, now if they're able to do this impossibility, what else can they do that I've been told they can't? And so it opens a lot of doors.
Yeah, that's amazing, Chase. And to our listeners and viewers, at adventureforall.org, there are some incredible stories that you have documented. You've got some of the best production capabilities of any organization, profit or nonprofit, I've ever seen. And we'll get to that kind of toward the end. But one of the things that your organization preaches is redefining inclusion. And it just made me think of that as you're talking about how these athletes, after they follow this 168-step process and multi-day, very committed process, they're becoming part of something they never knew existed before. Can you tell us what you mean by redefining inclusion?
Yeah, I mean, our vision statement is redefining the human potential for individuals with exceptionalities. And what we mean by redefining, it kind of goes back to that power of language, right? So, you know I was raised, a lot of people are raised in a setting that they never have an experience with an individual exceptionality. And so growing up as a child, when our minds are super open-minded, we're just expanding to opening up to information, we never have experiences with them. And maybe our first experience is too late in life, where we're teenagers or adults, where we become naturally more closed-minded and we kind of stick to our things. And so it's limiting our ability to see them as equals, to see them as every human is on this earth, which is having endless potential. Everybody on this earth has endless potential. And like you said, as long as they're willing to do something, you'll find that. Because right now, the barrier for these individuals of why we're trying to redefine inclusion is we can't redefine it without opportunity. So it's not a matter of these kids can't, it's a matter of they're not getting the opportunity to prove that they can. And so we're developing the opportunities to show the world that they can, because at the end of the day, it comes down to choice. And once they have choice, then they can take on an opportunity. Once they take on an opportunity, they can take on challenges. Once they take on challenges, they can experience growth. Once you experience growth, you find your passions. Once you find your passions, you find purpose. And once you find purpose, you're on a journey of endless potential for the rest of your life. And that's the steps that we're continuously trying to develop so that these kids can find that path for their life. Because there are statistics out there that people may not think are correlated, but are very correlated, is there's an 82% unemployment rate for individuals with exceptionalities. There's an 83% dependent living rate for individuals with exceptionalities. Those numbers seem to be the same number for a reason, because if you're not being challenged early on in your life to find the things you love and how to overcome those types of challenges and obstacles, how can you possibly be ready to take on society and life as a whole within a job setting and living on your own? It's going to be impossible. And so we're making those things possible by allowing them to have those challenges, because we believe in them. Because at the end of the day, truly loving somebody is allowing them to try.
You continue to speak about process, and of course, having a 168-step program to help one learn something that at one point was impossible. You have developed an application, because you can't be everywhere all at once, right? Yep. That you can only handle so many gifted exceptionalities at any time to help them. But there are certainly countless others who could benefit from this. Talk to us a little bit about your app. And I know it's expanded beyond the United States, and it's gone worldwide. What's that all about?
Yeah, so last summer, we did a big summer tour across the nation. We visited 6 communities, teaching kids in each community how to ride a bike. And we did that to challenge ourselves, because before that tour, we had 100% success rate in that 5-day camp. But that was because we're in our community with the kids and families. We kind of know, you know, all the variables were controlled. So I was like, no, team, we need to see if this truly works. And that's going to help us refine this even better. So we went to communities we'd never been, with families we'd never met, with kids that have never met us, and continued to run our process and refine it through the summer. And that's where we got to the 92%, which is good. That's what right? If you're always at 100%, that means you're not challenging yourself. You're not truly pushing the threshold of what's possible. And so that's what helped us figure that out. And through the summer, and I don't believe things happen by coincidence. I think everything happens for a reason. But during that summer, a father from the UK reaches out, listened to a podcast actually, and heard me speaking, and randomly said, hey, I've been trying to teach my son how to ride a bike for his entire life. He's 21 years old with Down syndrome. One time I tried to teach him for 2 years and I wasn't successful. And in that process, I got to a point that I just thought it wasn't for him. You know, he just can't do it. And he goes, but after listening to your podcast and then watching one of your films, as you mentioned earlier, and then listening to some testimonials, and this is the moment I was telling you about for parents, as he said in that email, he said, but I've now realized that it wasn't that he can't do it. It was that I gave up on his willing to do it. And so that one always gets me. It's a very beautiful thing to have to admit to somebody you've never met through an email. And so I called him, we set up a Zoom call, and I said, Kelvin, I'm actually in a process of wanting to test this completely virtually, because at the end of the day, Kelvin, I want to give this to parents all around the world. I want to give them the power to have that miracle moment with their own child and not have to rely on me or our coaches or anybody else to teach your own child how to ride a bike. I want you to have that experience with your child. And he said, absolutely. And so we sent him the videos, we sent him the instruction. It was very, very beta at that time. So he definitely did not get what the rest of the world's going to get. So kudos to Kelvin. And within 10 weeks, he taught his child how to ride a bike independently. And just 2 weeks ago, we had a Zoom call, and his dream when I first talked to him was to ride with his son and his entire family, his 2 other boys that are neurotypical, and his wife, Sarah, to ride through this forest near his house with his family. And he sent me a video of his entire family riding a bike through that forest. And it was his first time riding a bike with his son. And it was beautiful, man. It was beautiful. And after that, I realized that we have something here. We have something that the world deserves. And so my team and I, we've started developing how to digitize this. Because at the end of the day, we've helped almost 150 kids ride a bike, but that was only to refine the process, right? That's our model. That's why we always say we measure in decades, not days. I always tell my team that we measure in decades, not days, because we are going to perfect this process, and then we're going to digitize it, and then we're going to put it on this education and community platform, and we're going to allow everybody in the world. And so all of these kids, because right now, just over 90% of kids around the world with an exceptionality cannot ride a two-wheel bike independently. So again, by attacking one of those variables with something like this, we'll slowly start to attack the 82 and 83% I mentioned earlier. And so this platform is looking to be launched in Q1 of 2025, so next year, which is going to be, you know, we're very excited about. And so right now we're doing focus groups with parents. We're testing the platform. We're still in the midst of production to finish the other half of the library and the films, but we'll be ready to launch this next year, and it's going to be available to parents all around the world.
For those who want to learn more, even contributing to this amazing cause, where can people go to learn more?
There's a handful of places. You can definitely go to our YouTube channel. As Brock mentioned, we have some unbelievable films because we believe storytelling is a way to shatter barriers and glass ceilings, is by helping you experience something by watching a film and seeing these kids overcome unbelievable triumphs or tribulations. You can also visit us at www.adventureforall.org. And as Brock mentioned, you know, just over 80% of our donations are from individuals. You know, we're not heavily foundation or grant based because we have such a big vision. And because we measure beyond annual, a lot of foundations only measure annually because they have to hit numbers as well. So most of our growth and donations come from individuals like you all listening. And even if it's a $10 a month, $100 a month, or a $1,000 donation, those things go so far. I mean, $200 teaches a kid how to ride a bike. You know, that's just so you guys can kind of see like how far something so small can go, like completely shifts a child's trajectory in their life for $200. And those types of things are what are going to help expand the possibilities for this community.
Yeah. I could think of few, if no one better, for this topic on our show today, Chase, of doing something. You have already made this country a better place. If you stopped today, you have already made this country a better place. The good news is you're not stopping today. You're a young chap. You got a lot of years ahead of you, and you're doing great work. So on behalf of the 1776 community, we thank you for doing something and being part of making the United States of America more perfect, my friend. It was great to see you today.
Too. Thank you so much. And thank you to your community. And thank you to you, Brock, for taking the time to do these talks and do these podcasts and build these communities. Because at the end of the day, you and I know, we talk about this all the time, is community and bringing people together for something bigger than ourselves is what creates the most immense impact in this world. So thank you for all you do, man.
You're welcome, Chase. Amen to that. See you, my friend.
See you.